Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
All right, I'd like to welcome to the Love and Reality podcast from the Squid Game, the Challenge Season 1, and of course, recently seen on Netflix's Battle Camp. Trey, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Ricky?
I'm doing very good. We chatted for a brief amount of time ahead of Battle Camp coming out, and now that the season's out, everybody has seen it, and a lot of in between, and there's a lot of things to chat about, so I'm excited to chat with you today, man.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk more. So we have spoken before. It was very brief in a sort of junket setting. So I'm really excited to get a little bit more in depth here.
For sure. All right. So the fun thing about it is there was almost like a 2 to 3 year gap between Squid Game and Battle Camp. Did you ever come close to being on any other shows before Battle Camp came to fruition?
No. I did apply for Squid Game though, the same year that I applied for Survivor in like a really meaningful way. And I did get like through like a tiny bit of the casting process of Survivor, but Squid Game just picked me up so fast. They got to me first. Hey, they got me first.
Yeah, that's what I always say. Like people are the first person to put something on the schedule. You're it. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Well, actually, sorry.
No,
the gap between when Squid Game aired and when Battle Camp filmed is actually like months, like maybe like 3 months or so. So like it was pretty fast turnaround. The airing is a bit, I mean, these things take forever to come out sometimes. But it was a really quick pickup.
Yeah. Cause in my conversation with Avery, she was like, there was very few people on the show that actually their shows aired, so you can know what kind of gameplay or strategy they had on some of their shows. But I think one of the things I loved about that as well is like you had people from Squid Game, you had people from The Mole, and The Circle, but then you have people like on a real estate show or a cheerleading show. It's cool, our Love Base show. It's cool to have those mix and matches. Talk to me about how the casting came about for Battle Camp, though.
Yeah, I think generally they were looking to do something like Perfect Match, but make it like a challenge competition show. Like Netflix has like so much reality talent that to not have a show like this would be a waste. You gotta like send the talent out there, let them show what they've got. I think generally they wanted to cast from as wide of a pool as they could. So similar to like Traders, for instance. So you look at Traders and you see Housewives, you see Bachelorettes, you see Survivors, you see Big Brother players. This show sort of has the same philosophy, which I think is really exciting as a viewer. It's really annoying as a competitor, especially when you're in my position, because there's that cognitive dissonance where it's like, well, I'm playing a game, and like other people, while they're also playing a game, they come from different shows where like gameplay can be perceived as like morally bad because that's what their shows perceive lying and cheating and stealing as. So it's just a whole can of worms when you put us all together in a bunch.
I have been pleading for like years for this to be like a challenge, like atmosphere. Like you said, there's too many shows in this universe not to build it. And I think Battle Camp is the perfect way to really get everybody together. And I hope we get like, you know, 10 seasons of this. Talk to us about a little bit of behind the scenes of day one of Battle Camp. What was it like walking into the camp, kind of meeting your team, having those conversations from what we see, obviously, and then how fast maybe the turnaround, the challenges and stuff were?
Yeah. So the cycle of the show was like, we would do a challenge one day, and then the next day we would do the punishment and voting. So the first cycle, so to speak, we get to camp, we're standing outside the gate for camp, and we're meeting each other. It's all this really exciting energy. And then we think we're going to go into camp and start chatting with each other and start like building relationships and stuff. But then we actually go to the challenge. And because we're going to the challenge, we can't really chat and get to know each other because that stuff can't be aired, like can't make air. So we're all just, we're like basically sitting in sequester with like sitting crisscross applesauce, everybody wanting to talk to people, but we can't talk to anybody about anything. That was one of the most frustrating days, I'll be honest. But I think the sort of built up frustration of not being able to chat sort of just like exploded in camp later that day. That first day was like joyous, especially when you're looking at people like Tony and like QT, whose shows haven't come out yet. You get to chat with them and be like, hey, so like, how was your experience? And always talking in the reality space with other reality people, it's always like you just there's this sort of mutual connection that you have already that makes it just really easy to sort of break the ice.
Yeah, it's like in these universes, you know what I mean? You have people that you can rely on to kind of have those conversations with and have that camaraderie that's built in there. What kind of strategy did you have in this game? You're a strategic player. We see that play out through the season. But again, the balance of the non-strategic people or the balance of the non-background of some of these strategic players, what kind of was your strategy as you headed into the game?
I think I wanted to, so my strategy heading in was I wanted to ride out like my reputation, right? So I come from a very recent, very popular show that just aired. Almost everybody had seen it, or at the very least knew who I was when they hear Squid Game, the challenge. And it's like, oh, you're the son, you're the one that has the mom. Like that's your thing. So I wanted to like sort of ride out that like inherent trustworthiness in my reputation in Squid Game. That sort of got thrown out the window when Lorenzo was also there. Truthfully, literally anybody else on the cast of Squid Game would have been better news to see than Lorenzo, because there's no one else that really my mom and I wronged in the show. Everything else was like people sort of a little like going for us or like wronging us in one way or another. And I would have much rather seen an Ashley on the cast because she owes me something, not vice versa. So it was very difficult seeing Lorenzo. We sort of set up like a kind of alliance and like be like, hey, I'm not here to gun for you if you're not here to gun for me. And that worked for a really long time until it didn't. But because that, just seeing him struck something in me where I was like, I can't just ride this out the way I was planning. I need to be on my toes because like it's judgment day is coming if I don't sleep with one eye open.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. And I love that. That was one of the questions I asked you in the junket is about, you know, you wanted to see anybody there, but you saw Lorenzo and it was definitely interesting to see that. Take me behind your first thoughts, right? Team Wolves, Gabby, Louie, Irina, and yourself. What was your first thoughts of the team? And what's maybe those first initial conversations after the challenge like?
Yeah, so I was the second person to like walk on the bus. You know that bus scene where we're all going to camp? We came on one by one, had individual conversations. So I walked on and I saw Irina there. I had seen her season of Love is Blind. It was great to see her. It's cool meeting a Love is Blind person because they went through a crazy experience being in the, like, that's insane. Like, how are you going to go about trusting someone that you've never met face to face and can only like get a vibe from them from your voice in the pods? Like, that's crazy. But also seeing like Louie and seeing Gabby, knowing Gabby's from Cheer, like, these are two ridiculously in shape people. I know my capability for puzzle solving, and then I don't know Irina's physical or like mental ability really at all. So I'm just looking and I'm seeing like, well, I'm really confident in three out of the four of us. And one person I'm excited to learn more about because they went through a psychic experiment that rivals like the Stanford Prison Experiment. So that's my impression of the Wolves immediately.
The first time at the Wheel, right? So I find it kind of unpacked that, you know, when you guys found out about the Wheel while you were at the Wheel, right? Give us thoughts about the Wheel. What was it like finding out the fate and basically the entire show wrapped around this Wheel?
Yeah. I mean, like, so like I watch a lot of Survivor. I started watching a lot of Survivor. So, and I've seen the challenge, you know, like I know the idea of like nominating someone and I know the idea of like voting someone out, but the idea of like the person that you vote out, even if the whole camp votes for them, still has a chance of staying is like maddening. And it also creates like people who are really flaky, you know, and it also creates like Shuby, flash forward later in the game, Shuby would go up to Chase after voting for him for the third time and go, I knew it wasn't going to land on you. I just knew. Like, I voted for you, but it wasn't going to land on you. I knew it. So the Wheel definitely adds a layer of strategy that I don't know if, like, everybody fully grasped. Like, I think people looked at the Wheel and said, well, it's up to chance, so, like, whatever. But, like, there is a way to, like, statistics-wise, to finagle fate. You can change the tide. I think I had a line with Gabby towards the beginning where it's like, well, with the Wheel, it's up for fate to decide. And I was like, what if I want less fate or something like that?
Right. Or you have like Nick who's doing math on the screen, you know what I mean? Is breaking it down. You know what I mean? And it's true, because honestly, at the end of the day, like somebody like Nick had his name on there so many times, there was a double vote and still managed to stay in the game.
Right.
On the flip side, I think we kind of realized people were taking it serious when we see someone like Gabby, who had her name on there one time.
Yeah.
What was it like kind of seeing, was that kind of like a wake-up call? Maybe not for you, obviously, as a strategy moment, but also maybe a wake-up call for everyone that, hey, all you need to do is be up there one time and you can be gone.
No, it certainly was a wake-up call. I think I can, if we want a butterfly effect, we can trace my decision to talk to Polly in the show back to Gabby going home with one name on the Wheel. Like I was suffering loss after loss after loss, and I was spiraling, and I was like, I can't keep losing. I need to take my game into my own hands. And seeing Gabby go with one name on the Wheel, I was like, I need to make sure I have no names on the Wheel. And if I know someone is going to vote for me, I need to make sure that they do not. Like, it would be great if that's not the case. So I think like, that was certainly a wake-up call. It was also a wake-up call where it's like, okay, if I don't win, if I get eliminated here, I want my team to win. And I see Gabby go home. That's a really strong competitor. And I view myself as a really strong competitor. So I'm like, if I go home, they're screwed. And that might be a little egotistical to say, but I believe that. I truly believe that, because I only know how strong I am. I can't speak for anybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the element, because to me, as somebody that watched the show, I do see you, I foresaw you as a villain. And I do think that you played well into that, because, and it even started early on a little bit, because the first quote unquote vote against the team happened very quickly with Irina, right? Yeah. Talk to me about the decision here, because obviously we see it play out. It makes sense, especially whenever you know, because I think she's the second person eliminated. So Lexi was the first person eliminated. So you know your team's going to be quote-unquote refreshed. How much did that play into the factor of being like, hey, this might be a weak link, but and we can bring somebody new in here. Maybe that person can kind of elevate our team to the next level.
I think when we're talking about like who's getting votes and who we want to see go home, especially in like the early stage of the game and in the early stage of any of these games, really, it's about the tide. Right? It's not about making moves. It's not about striking when the iron's hot or seeing it's about like, if you see your lane, you go for the lane. So I think this whole thing started with like Polly had, I was talking to Polly, and Polly was like, there's only one person at camp that I'm not really vibing with, and it's Irina. And we, as a, because it's all we do is just like talk shit about each other. And we hear that and we're like, oh, okay. I mean, do we agree with that? Maybe we could agree with that and just let the tide sweep Irina out from under her feet. But I think it's difficult as like someone who's on her team who spends a ton of time with her to hear that. But also, like, I think Gabby, Louie, and I needed to reckon with, like, okay, well, what's going to make our team stronger? That was a crushing loss that we had. And I think the edit sort of makes it out to be like, it was a little bit my fault, and it was my fault. I take some responsibility for the loss of that challenge. But Irina really was up on that plank, really pushing like the answers in one direction and leading to a lot of second guessing. So we saw her performance in the first challenge. It wasn't the strongest out of the three of us. We saw her performance in the second challenge, which was, okay, she's undermining our decision-making. And we also hear how people are feeling about her in camp. So all of those things wrapped into one sort of inform our decision to go against our own team. It's difficult. It's hard.
It is, for sure. Especially because, like, later on in the game, it's like you're looked upon as, in one way, as a villain, because obviously the whole you toss Louie under the bus. But at the end of the day, in my opinion, am I right by saying it's like the entire strategy here is it's either him or me, right? You know, because she says to you, she approaches you in this moment and says, it's either you or Louie. So your goal is to be like, I need to keep my name off the wheel. Is that the strategy there, right?
Yeah. It's an anybody but me strategy, which I think when the right person does it, it goes well. But when the wrong person does it, doesn't go well. I do get it, but I also don't, because it really is like when they're talking to me at the wheel later, like Avery and Gio, and they're saying, like, you have shown your true colors out here. It's like, there's one winner. So, like, guess what's about to happen? You're about to have to show your true colors in just a second. Or if you don't want to win and you just want to play like popularity, that's fine. Like, that's cool. But don't morally aggrandize me because I need $250,000 pretty quickly here. Like, I don't know.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Yeah, agree. Exactly. And to me, like, that is a perfect segue, right? To the, in my opinion, probably the best wheel of the entire game was the moment where you're called out by Gio and even Avery. There's a whole lot that we see in this moment, right? There's a lot of questions around what happened. We have the Gio, Avery, QT, you, your facial expressions, which are absolutely magical. Probably will go down and you might get the Netflix award for facial expression, except for maybe Tony crying. But
true.
What went down here? What was it like seeing these two people so vocal on you going home? What's the conversation like? It seemed intense. And I feel like we got like a 5-minute grasp of maybe a little bit longer scenario.
Yeah. I mean, I think Avery, Gio, and I's conversation when I was standing in front of the wheel was probably like 30 minutes, maybe 45. I don't know. It was long. It was a long time. So it's quite a long conversation. And I think, like, what's difficult about defending myself in this situation is I could go one route, which is blame Polly, right? And I don't want to do that because I consider her an ally, and then I'd just be throwing another ally under the bus, which looks terrible. So I'm owning up to it. I'm like, yeah, I did that. if it's him or me, I'm going to choose me every time. And as my teammates are dwindling, it's difficult for the other teams to hear that. And the other teams are staying strong with their teams. And it's like, you can't play hunky-dory with the Eagles all the time, Bears. Like, it's got to end at some point. Like, you got to make a decision of who you're going to, like, who you're going to trust and who you're going to take on to the next round. So that's sort of what I was getting at. There was also, Gio said, he was like, I think Louis should be there. And then I was like, and I shouldn't. And then he goes, I don't know. And it's like, if you're going to call me out, stand on it, brother. Stand on it. This is the type of stuff that is like frustrating me. Because when Taylor asks me, do you know where those votes came from? I knew. And I wanted to be polite. I wanted to be like, I wonder. I knew a vote came from Avery and I knew a vote came from Gio because neither of them talked to me the entire day. They're being very, very weird with me. And I didn't know a vote. I think Kyle was the only one where I was like, oh, wow, that's surprising. Based on our conversation that we had on the porch, which I figured out was him testing me, which is so annoying. Oh, my God. That's so annoying. And I'm rambling, but bear with me. I sort of like when they decided to start leaning into me about this decision that I made, that I had an idea was being passed around the camp, but not to the, like, sort of the spiraling, like, psychosis that they were undergoing as they made me out to be a villain. What was my train of thought? You're fine. They just really leaned into me at that wheel for longer than they showed on television.
And I think there was an element of it that you could see because there was like an exhaustion almost on your face in some of the elements, because as peer down to this five, we get this interesting editly part of Avery QT's battle that was there too, because there's so much going on. There's just so much going on between you guys. When they go home, Avery first, then Gio. What's that like? What's the initial feeling like of like, ha ha, almost, you know what I mean? Like, what's that feeling like deep down inside when you see that moment unfold?
I mean, this is sort of what like I'm talking about when I wanted to blindside Irina. So like this sort of moment is like their airing of my dirty laundry. So if they can say their piece about me and ensure that, and if I go home, great. If I don't go home, they can make sure that everybody else knows what I did, which is sort of, I mean, it's just proof that like we had to not tell Irina like kind of what was going on, which I feel bad about, but I would never do again. But like from a game perspective, it was sort of right. But for them, they had to say this to ensure my demise. And seeing them go out back to back after they yelled at me and after also Avery and QT had their square off, it was karmic beauty. It was like watching Mozart complete his symphony, or it was beautiful. Seeing your two most vocal opponents go home is spectacular. But unfortunately, what that creates then is it creates people who aren't as vocal and maybe agree. And now they are sort of, they're sort of hiding in the weeds. And then it begins the work of like, okay, who believes Avery and Gio and who takes my side as somebody who was simply looking out for himself when no one else was.
Right, because you got to play damage control, right? You got to have that damage control because both of them are gone. They're not there to defend themselves, but they said enough, you know, to put the, even if it's a sliver of doubt, and you already kind of had a quote unquote history here of, and I think that's where it's making me understand a little bit more about, that's why I love chatting with you about this, because it makes me understand a little bit more about the gameplay behind the scenes, because it's more about watching somebody that's very strategic play against people that aren't so strategic and don't know how to handle those kind of pressures, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely interesting because you're back against the wall. Like, I even wrote this down. I was like, it almost felt like you had 9 lives. You know what I mean? There was so many times that you were targeted. There was like 3 or 4 different wheel ceremonies where it was like, Trey. You know what I mean? And it was like you didn't go home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, did it almost surprise you how long you lasted because your back was against the wall so much?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, my name was on the wheel every single time except the first and the last. Boo-hoo. So I was shocked every wheel. And you know, for the new people coming in, I think there was a wheel ceremony where Taylor was like, how do you get used to like seeing your name on the wheel? And I was like, it always feels the same. You just get used to how you deal with it. So I think it's shocking when somebody votes for you, right? That somebody, unless you're Shuby, where it's like, I knew you were going to stay. It's somebody saying that I would prefer you go home, right? And in my brain, that's difficult for me to do because this is my dream. And in most scenarios, you're with other people where this is their dream. And to vote for someone to get out, you're stealing their dream from them and to make yourself, to fulfill your dream further, which is hard to do. But that's not this game. This game is filled with people who are there for different reasons. And when what's especially difficult, it's also the set of circumstances that take them to each wheel ceremony is very different. So I don't make it to the last wheel ceremony where I get eliminated if I'm not actively campaigning for myself and talking to people about strategy. And I think Georgia says Trey is always talking about votes. Trey is always talking about strategy. And that was true because if I didn't, it'd be like, well, Trey is sort of a sitting duck at the moment. He's just crying by the fire pit. We can probably take him out next round and he'd probably thank us. So I had to stay sharp or else I would go home. And other people not only didn't think of the game that way, but also didn't have the privilege or I didn't have the privilege of playing in the hot tub or making friendship bracelets or playing beer pong. So it's or just playing beer pong, should I say.
Right.
It's all in the game.
Yeah, it is. And that's the thing. It's like, because I think that's what makes the game in one way really like attractive to viewers is like you have to be likable. But yet when your back's against the wall, it's kind of hard to be likable.
Yeah.
And the whole element, there needs to be, I felt like there needs to be some sort of more safety aspects of the game that I think that there's, I liked season 1, but I feel like there needed to be, if you like, you win the punishment, like you're safe period type of thing. You know what I mean?
This is great. You're spitting. You're spitting. There's actually 2 things. And one of them is that where it's like, if you, let's say you lose the challenge and you're in punishment, you win a punishment, you're immune from being voted for, but you still have your name on the wheel.
Yeah.
I think there's also like room for an advantage. I talked about this in a different interview where like an advantage could be a wheel slice where you find a wheel slice and whose name you write down on that wheel slice, if the name lands on you when you go to the wheel ceremony, you play the wheel slice and then you turn it and it's whoever you want to go home. So there's like options for like maneuverability in play. However, like especially with a lot of people who do not play a ton of reality games or watch a ton of reality games, which I think is like the target audience for Battle Camp, sometimes those things get really muddy and like is seen as unfair by the audience. Also, if it gets in the wrong hands, it could be just like a completely power imbalance. So I think there is maneuverability in the game and I think there's stuff there, but you're definitely on the right track. Yeah.
Yeah. Because to me, I mean, at the end of the day, like that's where to me, like you understand, you watch Survivor, like that's to me right. Is like where I feel like there's such a gap in the Netflix reality universe because people watch like $1 million Secret and be like, oh, I can't believe these people backstab each other. It's $1 million. You know what I mean? This is like $250,000 we're playing for. Like it's, at the end of the game, there's going to be gameplay. You have to understand that there is a cutthroat aspect of these games. Yeah. That you have to, like, again, for well, yeah, I think you were on eight episodes. Like five of those episodes, it felt like you were fighting for your life in every single episode. While some other people, I'm not going to say they skated by, but they were able to kind of get by on the likability factor that kind of makes the game a little bit unique as well.
And also like the scapegoat factor, right?
Right.
Because I mean, I survived for so long and that like really bolstered like people who might have been targets if I wasn't around. Like Lorenzo, like Georgia. I think they catch votes pretty regularly if I'm not there. So it's a benefit to them to keep me around, but I don't know. I don't even know if they realize that. I think Lorenzo and I had good conversations, but I didn't really talk much like some of that like complex strategy with Georgia.
To me, it blew my mind every single wheel that Georgia's name was not on there enough. She was a competitor. She was a dog. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like she went out there and kicked ass and took, it was impressive to watch it because I didn't expect it, but then you were watching and it's like, y'all are like, you're right though. Like you're really like, she's really kind of flying under the radar, very competitive, not flying under the radar as like skating by like some other people might've. She was actually competitive all the competitions. And it's like, hey, are you guys not seeing this over here? Like, hello. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but yeah, it was interesting. All right. So before we go, I like to do some quick fire questions here. Form obviously surrounding battle camp here. All right, who was the most competitive?
Louis. Gabby. Ty.
Funniest.
Lorenzo. Louis is pretty funny too. What's that?
Loudest.
Loud Gabby.
Friendliest.
Probably. I'd say Shuby. Yeah, it's certainly Shuby.
Most down to earth.
Down to earth. Shub's so down to earth. Like, are you kidding?
Hardest competition.
Oh, wow. In different aspects, I'd say Tony would have been tough competition had he not bowed out. I think respect is due. Probably Avery was tough competition for me as well.
Funnest competition that you competed in?
Oh, shock climbing. I loved that.
Dude, you skate it right up.
Yeah.
Person you'd call to bail you out of jail?
Person I called to bail me out of jail? Probably Lorenzo because he has the check. But that's a good question. Probably Shubes. Shuby or QT, I'd say.
Person you think could win Squid Game the challenge?
Georgia.
Person from Squid Game the challenge you'd like to see on season 2 of Battle Camp?
Oh man, I'm gonna give you a few. Obviously my mom, Roland, B, who did the crazy battleship stuff. TJ, I'd love to see Coach on there. I think that covers it. Oh, Figgy and Dash. There's so many people. There are too many people on Squid Game for you to ask that question.
Right, exactly. There really is, because like most people, it's like you had like 20 people on their show. You know what I mean? Or 10 people on their show. It's like Squid Game, we had like a bazillion people. Okay. Yeah. All right. What reality show do you want to go on?
Oh man. Survivor is a dream come true. Sincerely. But, I love Battle Camp and I love going back for another. So I think I would have to say Survivor though.
All right. What's next for Trey?
What's next for me? You know, I just got, engaged very recently. I'm getting married soon. So that is sort of occupying a ton of my time. I also am hosting an event with my good friend Quinn from Big Brother 26. We're doing like a sort of reality summer games type thing that's happening towards the end of July. We're still in the early planning stages, but we're super excited to share that and just have a good time with some reality folk in the community.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.